listen to the Black Guy Who Tips podcast because Rod and Karen are hot.
Messing me up my whole head, teasing me just like Tisha did Martin. Now look at what you starting. Schoolboy's crush and it ain't on the hush, the whole world sees it, but you can't. My people, they complain, sit and rave and rant. Your name is out my mouth like an ancient chant. Got me like a dog as I pause and pant. Speaking of which, got a leash and I wish just to rock you, miss. Make a militant move, peep my strategy. End of the day, you're not mad at me. Not dealing with nobody, that's what you told me. I said, hey, yo, it's cool, we could just be friendly. Cause, yo, picture me messing it up. Her mind not corrupt with the ill C cups. Shit. I'm on my J-O. Bullshit and hoping that the day goes slow. Got me like a fiend. What confuses me though is kisses when we greet. Tell me what's the dilly, yo. Deal, yo, yo. Yeah, you have my heart for the evening. Hey, welcome to the Black Guy Who Tells podcast. Your host Rod and
Karen.
Should I just sit back and come harder? Help me find my way. We are live on a Wednesday. No Walking Dead to recap, so it's just us talking. So if you guys hate
just
The Walking Dead,
me and you, baby,
we back. Today's podcast is sponsored, but first let me say the official weapon of the show is
the taser.
An unofficial sport
is bullet ball
and bullet ball extreme. And today's show is sponsored by Shadow Dog Productions. We have two audio play albums. One is called The Best of Rod and Karen. The other is called Sunspot and Other Ratchetness. Go check them out. Go listen to them. You know, give them 5-star reviews. Find them on Amazon. Find them where you get Apple Music. All these places. Check them out on Tidal and Spotify even. Just support us. It helps us out tremendously. And we love you guys. And we thank you. Okay. So, all right. Let's get into the show. I don't even know what I'll talk about. Let's see. We got some articles.
Okay.
Ben Carson proposes that poor people should pay more in rent. And I understand. The $30,000 tables and chairs ain't gonna pay for themselves, Karen. Okay, but if you can get a little bit more rent on these poor people, then maybe HUD won't have such a tight budget when it comes to him and Candy putting the pantry together, you know? Yep. On Wednesday, he unveiled a major overhaul of the rental housing system, proposing to increase the share of rent that low-income households must pay before receiving assistance and allowing public housing authorities to impose work requirements.
What about the people that physically can't work?
I would imagine fuck them, according to Ben Carson and the Republican plan.
They came with that because you have a lot of people in various stages in their lives. You have a lot of elderly people, a lot of people that might be mentally ill or other types of sicknesses where they fall in this particular group and can't work.
The thing for me is it just shows the way that Republicans think about poor people,
right?
They think it's just a matter of want to. Hey, everybody that's poor is because you don't try hard enough, and it's because you're not forced to do enough. But if we force you to pay higher rent, we force you to get a job, then you would magically not be poor. And let alone the fact that most of the people living below the poverty line have jobs. There's jobs,
2 and 3 jobs. They just consider the working poor,
right? We have working poor in America. Not everybody's just sitting around or whatever. And then this is also going to force people out of housing,
right? So now you're going to have a bunch of homeless people, and children are included in this number,
right? So yeah, the proposal to reshape the way HUD helps 4.5 million people meet their rent is part of a broader Trump administration push to link anti-poverty programs to employment. Carson, who often refers to his own up from nothing life story as a parable for the poor, and said last year that poverty is a state of mind, has long called on HUD to focus on helping people get off assistance rather than expanding the benefits it provides. The current system, Carson said on the conference call with reporters, creates a perverse incentives, including discouraging these families from earning more income and becoming self-sufficient. Rental assistance recipients currently spend about 30% of their adjusted income for on housing, with subsidies picking up the rest. Under the proposal HUD is sending to Congress, recipients will contribute 35% of their gross income, or 35% of their income from working 15 hours a week at the federal minimum wage. Now you think, if you're only able to work 15 hours a week at federal minimum wage,
come on.
Do I have a third of my fucking income to give up in the first place?
No.
You know, and then now you want to raise it up to 35% or whatever, like.
Right, and the thing is, people that are actually quote unquote above minimum wage, you know, actually making money, they've done studies that said that the average person spends a lot more percentage of their income on rent. So rent and mortgage and all is just going up across the board. So that's a lot of money. 15 hours, that ain't no work.
That could all, and honestly, that could be be the difference between life and death. That 5%, like not right. Even, you know, just, but it's all because of this belief that poor people just don't want to be not poor.
No, it's, I mean that, and it's the belief that all black and brown people are poor.
Big, well, yeah, race is definitely tied to it. I would say it's definitely tied to it. I wonder if Ben Carson sees it the same way Trump sees it, but it's definitely tied to it.
Right, when percentage wise more white people are on any type of government assistance we have, more white people are on it than any other fucking group of people, they're gonna be affected more by any other group of people. Brown people are affected harder, but they're affected more.
Yeah, it's just but yeah, the association of black people are lazy, black people are the poor ones, poor black people need more government help, blah blah blah, so therefore we will stop all government help, and then what, black people will just stop existing?
Right, poor people will go away.
If you don't pay for people one way, you're gonna pay for them another.
Yes, you will.
But yeah, it's supposed to exclude people over age 65 and the disabled from the minimum work requirements.
Okay, that's what you say, but I don't, who knows what kind of stipulation you might have in there where somebody actually might qualify and you'd be like, oh, you don't qualify.
Mm-hmm. And then they also said they would less frequently verify income, which is supposed to encourage renters to increase their income without adversely impacting assistance for up to 3 years. So it can't, because in their mind it's, oh, you can make more money, but you're scared because you know the government is going to make you pay more of your rent. So what we'll do is we'll only check in at once every 3 years. That way, if you get the little, it's time to pay your rent, well, hey, it, you know, I got 2 years if I get a job at the right time of making more than enough before, you know, they hit me with the hammer in 3 years.
100, fuck him.
Yeah, it's just a fundamental, disagreement that I have with, you know, just pull yourself up by your bootstraps mentality that, you know, and then there's a lot of black people that had this mentality too, but.
Yes, it is. You poor because you want to be poor. Bitch, what? Nobody wants to be poor. What? Why is it this logic that poor people desire and just want to be poor?
Right. It's just that you must be inferior to me. Because I think it honestly stems from the fact that a lot of people don't want to feel like it, being poor could happen to them.
Correct.
And they want to feel like if they do manage to break the cycle of poverty or to get some money, well, obviously, that's because I'm just a better person than you.
Mm-mm. And truth be told, it's a lot of people that grew up poor. You just didn't know you were poor because your parents did a fucking excellent job protecting you as a child from you understanding the finances that were going on in their homes. Because there's some people where they may have been on free or reduced lunch and things like that, but guess what? They weren't homeless. They might not have been hopping around from place to place. They might not have been in a homeless shelter, but they literally may have been one or two paychecks away from actually losing shit. But when parents do their jobs, a lot of times they protected you from a lot of this.
Yeah, but that lends itself to their argument. They would say, yeah, so then you do it. That, like, hey, well, you just said the parents protected you, and well, then everybody should do what my parents did. I think that's bullshit. I don't think it's correct. Just about, like, to me, the thing is, these programs that exist already help people break the cycle of poverty.
Yes.
Some of these people are living examples of having these programs as a cushion, as a trampoline underneath their feet, you know, a safety net that helped them from falling all the way off. They helped their family from falling all the way off. That's they helped them build something so that they could be the generation that broke that poverty for their family. And they still look back and just go, nope, it was just hard work by itself. It was just my parents. They didn't let me feel poor even when we were on those programs. And that's the difference between people who stay poor and my family. And that, and it still is this meritocracy they believe in. And it also makes you feel like you have control. We know that the number one reason for poverty is medical bills. You have a medical crisis. Next thing you know, you're poor. You know, you have, you know, the number one reason for marriages breaking up is financial distress.
Correct.
So we look at people without money and go, well, they can't keep their families together and they're not doing this. Well, it's hard when you're poor. Love is a luxury for a lot of people.
Come on. Sometimes you know? You can't afford love.
Right. We talk about it all the time, but like, it's easy to be in love when you got some money.
Come on.
It's a lot harder when you broke.
Yeah, a lot harder to look at somebody when we both struggling.
So, but yeah, you know, and a motherfucker like Ben Carson who claims to have come from poverty would turn around and get some money and be like, yeah, the rest of you black people are lazy.
Yeah, meanwhile, the federal government, which people pay taxes, is paying your fucking income. What are you talking about, bum?
And they buy that exceptional shit. They buy that the, when white people tell, this is the ultimate, you know, the ultimate dream of when white people tell certain black people they're not like the rest of us. He's acting like he's not like the rest of us. Hank Azaria, the voice of Apu on The Simpsons, says he will step aside from the character. It's, we got a package.
Oh, my bad.
Yeah, it's all good. It's not the police. All
right, because I was like, what the fuck is that?
They didn't knock hard as hell, didn't they?
Right, okay. That's why I stopped, like, well, wait a minute.
Following the release of the documentary The Problem with Apu, which details the Indian stereotypes represented by Hank Azaria's character on The Simpsons, the actor said Tuesday that he would be willing to step aside from the character. Azaria made the comments on The Late Show with Stephen Colbert, adding that the idea that anyone young or old, past or present, has been bullied based on the character makes him really sad. It certainly was not my intention. I wanted to bring joy and laughter to the people. The director of the documentary, Hari Kondabolu, tweeted in response Wednesday thanking him. Thank you at Hank Azaria. I appreciate what you said and how you said it. That's interesting. I mean, got some traction.
What do you think should happen with the character going forward?
Yeah, I've given this a lot of thought, really a lot of thought. And as I say, my eyes have been opened. And I think the most important thing is we have to listen to South Asian people, Indian people in this country, when they talk about what they feel and how they think about this character and what their American experience of it has been. And as you know, in television terms, listening to voices means inclusion in the writer's room. I really want to see Indian, South Asian writers in the room, not in a token way, but genuinely informing whatever new direction this character may take, including how it is voiced or not voiced. You know, I'm perfectly willing and happy to step aside or help transition it into something new. I really hope that's what The Simpsons does. And it not only makes sense, but it just feels like the right thing to do to me.
All right. What do you think about that response?
Somebody got a hold of him. It's like, this is what you need to say if you want people off your ass.
Mm-hmm.
If it's sincere or not, only time will tell. That's the thing. When people say stuff, only time will tell if what they're saying is true or if they just spitting.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think, one, this is what happens when you don't have the people of color in the writing room.
Mm-hmm.
Two, this is also what happens and a lot of us have dealt with this, but the quote-unquote good white people, when they get challenged on something, a lot of times there's this reaction of like, how dare you? I'm the good white person. I'm your ally. I write Lisa Simpson. It's a pretty liberal show. And you would say it's not liberal enough. Like, can't you see we already are doing a good job? And, you know, even though we're not employing you, even though we're not really putting you on screen, even though, you know, we made a mistake and we may feel like embarrassed about it, we may feel that this was wrong, we're not going to even take the steps to correct it or address the legitimacy of your argument. We're going to just dismiss it as PC culture run amok or motherfuckers be sensitive or just anything but actually, you know what, my bad, let us work on fixing this, you know. Azaria did say on Tuesday he had nothing to do with the writing of the episode, the one where Lisa looked at the camera and said that shit. So it'll be interesting to see what happens, but that's a better response than the first one. I don't even know why that first one got, sometimes you see shit and you're just like, how did they get out of the room unless every white person in here is just stupid? Or just someone that's so powerful in the room was just like, fuck everybody. There's no other way to view this than what I tell y'all to say.
Correct.
You know, I don't know, man. Certain things happen. I'm like, I feel like you don't have to be in this group to understand that this is wrong. Mm-hmm. But that might just be me. You know what I mean? Where you like talking to people and you're like, guys, we don't need to be a woman to know that that's just wrong.
Come on.
Like, we don't actually have to like bring a woman in here to tell you that that was wrong. Like, y'all can see it from another perspective for a second, but
right, because
you look at these decisions and you look at the outcomes and you're like, oh no, that must not happen.
Right, people don't look at the humanity of other people. And like, if you looked at the humanity and looked at them as a human being, as somebody with rights and somebody as a whole person like you, you would consider it. But because you don't look at them as equal to you, you is easily to dismiss.
I honestly wonder if they like watched the documentary even. You know what I mean? Like, did he just watch it this week and was like, oh shit, I should have watched that. Not at all what they were saying.
He may have.
You know? But yeah, you know, I mean, and obviously, he's a actor on the show. The show is bigger than him, but I think it's lending your voice to it is a major help as opposed to what we're used to, which is, hey man, I think, you know, he needs to just calm down. PC culture is out of control and I'm a good white man.
Right.
You know, but I think him saying, cause see, I think especially with like activist spaces and then with, online social media and shit, everybody's constantly in this, you know, rage, I'm so woke type environment, right?
Mm-hmm.
But it's just not the real world.
No, it's not.
And the vast majority of people, if you're cashing a check from some entity, and you would like to continue to cash your check from such entity,
correct,
you would probably just say, it's a pretty big step to go on the record in public and be like, I don't agree with my company doing this.
Yeah, because a lot of people at your 9-to-5, there's some shit to happen that you don't agree with, but you don't step up and always speak out. But it's real easy to tell somebody else to fuck their income up.
Right. Now, you know, obviously people pocket watch and all that shit. So correct. It's like, oh, just do blank. But literally, like, to me, this is one of the steps of the progress is people start saying, I'm not with the shit on, the, you know, that have some pull with the show.
Correct.
You know, and it's not, and obviously the higher ups, the writers, the people who, you know, it's an animated show, they can get rid of you anytime they want, but
mm-hmm.
the higher ups, it's on them. You know what I mean? Ultimately, if they're gonna do anything, but, you know, I appreciate the nigga lending his fucking voice to, what is the cause, and honestly, I'm not gonna be more offended than Harry Condabolo, who wrote the fucking, made the documentary, who thanked the dude. You know what I mean? Like, he's like, thank you. This is what I've been saying. Appreciate you, cuz. Let's get this done.
Right.
Like, yeah, that's good. That's a good thing. I'm not going to taint it or make it worse, you know? Like,
correct.
Could he have pulled a gun on the writing room and shot everybody? Of course he could have. We let people carry guns everywhere. But, he, you know, but I love this response, too. So, we'll see how woke he really is and all that shit when it hits the fan or if it ever comes back up.
Right, because, like, with everything, only time will tell.
But anyway, good on him, and I'm glad he listened, you know, because that's, you know, and I know it's that other thing too, comedians are always on some like, I'm just making jokes when they want to be just making jokes, but when they are trying to be like, this is a, you know, like, you can't claim The Simpsons is a show that changed the world and The Simpsons is just a silly show and it means nothing. You can't have it both ways.
Right.
Have you heard about the poop train?
Do I want to hear about the poop train?
The poop train is a train full of human excrement, sludge from New York City, traveling down to Alabama, only to be bureaucratically stuck outside of a 1,000-person town of Parrish for more than 2 months, engulfing the town in its suffocating stench.
What?
Mm-hmm.
Are you serious?
Poop train. Mm-hmm. And now at long last, the saga is over. The odor, however, is still lingering. It smells like rotting animals or a dead carcass. It seems like there's a dead animal nearby, Mayor Heather Hall of Parrish said Thursday. And it's not like you get a whiff of it where it's just a subtle smell. It is so overpowering you can't go outside.
I believe that. That's a lot of shit.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Literally a lot of shit.
The mayor announced she had wonderful news on Wednesday. The last of the sludge had been removed. The town was free at last of the 42-car train with the awful nickname. The odor had been difficult to avoid, permeating all 2 square miles of the town, about 40 miles northwest of Birmingham, she said. It was especially hard in the early evening, but you could smell it throughout the day.
Literally, I can imagine the summertime. Oh, mm-hmm. My God. And you talking about down south where you got that fucking humidity and shit. Ugh.
Little League baseball games had to get canceled. You can forget enjoying the nice weather on your front porch. Turning on the air conditioning will just bring the smell inside.
Oh, especially if you have one of those window air conditions.
A federal ban forbids New York from disposing of its treated sewage waste in the ocean, so the city routinely ships it to the south, where landfills can offer better bargains. A nearby one, Big Sky, had accepted the city sludge since 2017.
Okay.
But West Jefferson, the town near the landfill, was fed up with the smell as the loads were transferring from trains to trucks. The town got an injunction to stop the trains in January, at which point the train in question was parked in Parrish. Parrish was not happy last week. The town's council issued an ultimatum saying it would file a lawsuit and an injunction against Big Sky if the rail cars weren't moved by April 23rd. Big Sky did not return phone calls, seeking comment on Thursday.
I have a question. Okay, so you accepted it. You should have been responsible for the control the fucking odor, too.
How can you control that odor?
I mean, that's true. But I'm pretty sure sewage plants all over the place that don't be stinking like this.
I mean, but this ain't a plant. It's just containers of shit. The most you can do is move it fast.
I see what you're saying. It's not a plant. It's like somewhere where they just dump it all in the big pile.
Yeah, you dump it into a landfill.
Oh, and then what, just sit in the landfill?
I guess the landfill just away from everybody else. I don't know what they do at the landfill, Karen. I'm not actually on the poop train committee.
My bad. I mean, I just want to know where all the poop funds go.
The ordeal came to an end as trucks hauled contents off the Big Sky landfill in Adamsville, about 20 miles to the west. Ms. Hall said there were more than 10 million pounds of the material in almost 400 containers. Oh, my God. Ms. Hall said the town did not have zoning laws to prevent such a train's presence because officials never thought that would be necessary. Exactly. No one ever comes over that when they're building a town. Hey, guys, can you not park any shit trains in our jurisdiction?
And that's why they put it there, too, because they know you didn't have any laws.
I mean, well, who does? They could put it anywhere. Nobody got them laws. Who the fuck is sitting around thinking of this? Hey, man, I would like to move to an amendment that we add to the constitution of the town. No shit trains sitting on the yard. Daryl, if you don't get you on your sick obsession with shit trains out of my office, stop bringing this up at the meetings. We don't care. Okay, one day you'll be sorry.
I know, right?
When the shit train comes, it's not going to stop for just anyone. It's going to stop for you.
When the shit hit the ground, I don't want nobody to say nothing.
Flies will be everywhere. Children won't be able to play games and
you won't be able to breathe.
You won't be able to turn on the air conditioning. Remove him from my town hall meeting right now. Security, get Daryl out of here.
With his aluminum foil cap.
The shit is coming. The shit is coming. Now get him. Smack him in the face. Slap. Ooh, you want the shit? Ooh.
Poor thing for that person that's probably been protesting for L's, like I told y'all.
You can never pass that law.
And maybe it's just me, and maybe because I'm very ignorant, there's no way to recycle this. I mean,
they put it in the landfill. I mean, I don't know.
Okay,
maybe the landfill that plants the plants on top of it one day. I don't know.
I don't know. I
What do you want to handle the shit?
I don't know, but don't shit turn, don't they put ground it up and turn into compost? Because that's what I smell when I pass by somebody with compost. Smell like a big land of shit.
You want to smell that in your town?
No.
Okay, so then even if they could do that, what would it matter? Still smell like shit.
That's true.
The kids can't play around it. Even if you plant fucking unicorns in it, it doesn't matter. You just have to get rid of the shit.
And then where does it go? Somebody else's backyard?
I mean, you put it uphill. Shit always rolls downhill. So you just live uphill, I guess. I don't know.
I don't know either. Is you gonna, 5 years from now, somebody else talking about that shit that was down there in that town just came this way?
I guess they will have a shitty day then.
Yeah, always a shitty day there.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, imagine when it rained. Oh, you think it's mud. It's just shit.
Can't turn on the AC.
Mm-mm. Can't drive your car nowhere.
Can't turn on the ceiling fan, because you know when the shit hits the fan, it's just going to be spreading around.
Spreading around everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, but you probably can't turn the air conditioner on your vehicle. Because I bet you turn that on, it smell like shit. Then you can't roll down. Poor thing, you can't roll down when it smell like shit. You turn your air conditioner on, that's blowing cold, shitty air in your face.
I know they town sell the hell out of some air freshener.
What? Probably sold out.
And a can of Febreze left in that motherfucker. Mm-mm. They're like, You know what? We lead the nation in Febreze. Maybe, has anyone checked to see if...
All the candles, people buy out all the candles.
Okay, we might check to see if the government lobby of big air freshener is involved in this.
I mean, it's a 2-square-mile town. It's the number one seller. What is happening? What the fuck is happening down there?
Just sending the poop train from town to town, selling out air fresheners right. Everywhere. People all over the world, join hands.
Mm-mm.
Start a poop train. A poop train.
No, thank you.
Anyway, I wonder if it got that poop emoji on the side of every car. That would be good. That's sick. Speaking of sick, study reveals that a bad boss can make employees sick.
Yes, they can.
Mm-hmm. For 75% of Americans, bosses are a major cause of stress at work. A LinkedIn article published by Quartz Magazine reveals that a bad boss can be harmful to employees as passive smoking.
I believe that.
The article also says that the longer you stay in the job working for someone who stresses you, the greater the damage to your physical and mental health.
Yes.
I absolutely believe that. According to Quartz, data from the American Psychology Association shows that 75% of American workers believe that bosses are a major cause of stress at work. However, 59% of them would not leave a job. Yeah, what choice do you have?
Right.
Statistics show that employees get used to their jobs despite the fact that they're unhappy. I know I've been there. Shit. This further complicates their process of resignation as they are no longer motivated to search for a healthier working environment, which could improve their situation. It's worse than cigarettes. Researchers at the Harvard Business School and Stanford University in the United States gathered data from over 200 studies and found that stress at work can be as harmful to your health as exposure to a considerable amount of smoke from other people's cigarettes, just like passive smoking. The main reason for stress at work for most employees is the risk of losing their job.
Right.
So we're operating from a different angle, not just, well, I should apply for another job and get a better job. Mm-mm, that's when the sky's the limit. But we're talking about when the floor is ceiling. You know what I mean? You got people out here like, man, I just don't want to lose the shitty job I got.
Right.
They said as a consequence, chances are that employees are 50% more prone to health problems than their colleagues. Employees in a demanding job are expected to deliver more than they can give, and this increases their chances to acute health problems by 35%. Survival in some cases, the problems with the bosses are merely a matter of affinity. However, there are many bosses like Miranda Priestley from Devil Wears Prada in real life. But how do you recognize whether you belong to the first category or the second? Bad bosses are overly aggressive, narcissistic, and even violent sometimes. They often say phrases like, we've always done it like, you can count yourself lucky you even have a job, and this place is a mess when I'm not around. Given the present market conditions, it's not an easy decision to quit one's job and start over entirely. This soon becomes a habit and the level of motivation sinks. Here are some simple strategies you can use to survive moments of professional crisis.
Okay.
Make a list of the day's goals and strike the items off as you complete them. I've done that before.
Mm-hmm.
This feeling of having done something can help you move on. Turn on your email and work phone over the week. Turn off your email, I'm sorry, and work phone over the weekend.
Oh, and I don't have them problems. Right. I don't work from home.
This can help you recharge your personal battery for a short while. Yeah, I never had to deal with that one either.
Yeah, I've never had a job that would have ever allowed me to do that. And it's one of those things to where I don't know if I want a job that where I, you know, had to be on call and shit like that, because then you can never actually be off.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I know that shit is true, though. And, like, one of the things people don't talk about is, you know, in the, that's in, like, your uniform kind of big business type setting, but small businesses can be even worse.
Yes, it can.
You got a horrible boss that treats people bad, and you ain't got no HR department.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like,
who you gonna report to?
Right. There's no, like, you lose this job, you don't know where the fuck you gonna go. You know, like, it can be even worse depending on how much power that person has. Like, at least in a corporation sometimes, hey, I would like to internally apply for a different job. I like, hey, can I go to HR? This person's being overbearing towards me. You know, they're taking, like, my personal relationships with them and using that to be against my work relationship against me, shit like that. You don't have a recourse. Mm-mm. You know, and that's a scary position. Nobody wants to, like, it's already bad enough when you're in a company and there's some, like, steps in place to save you. What are you doing? Somebody's just like, I own everything. Fuck you.
Correct. The structures are very different, you know, because some people I've talked to actually enjoy, because I think I asked people about, you know, working for a bigger company versus smaller company. Mm-hmm. And some people say that they prefer smaller companies, and some people say they prefer a larger company. You know, some people just want to be a number. They don't care nothing about these personal relationships. They don't care nothing about you knowing them and seeing their face. They just want to be a number, get their paycheck, and go home.
Well, also, how much of that is just based on your boss, though?
That's true too.
If I have a good boss in a corporate situation, I'm not upset by that. Yes. Whereas if I have a bad boss in a private, you know, small business, that can be a bigger nightmare.
It can be, yes.
You know, so it just depends, man.
Yeah, depending on the structure of the company.
Everybody's always looking for some. It's not just the structure of the company. I'm saying, outside of that as well, it's just also the boss.
Ah, okay, yes.
Because a good boss in a small company, dope. I've seen people with very flexible jobs, bosses right. That really love them, appreciate them, mm-hmm. You know, go out of their way to make sure that they're taken care of, you know. But then when you're in a corporate environment, I've seen people that had good bosses, and also you like, oh, this department runs smooth with this person at the top, and blah, blah, blah. You switch bosses, all of a sudden it's like, fuck this job.
I've had that happen before.
Right. So I think the temperament of the boss in this is a lot of it, because
yeah, and I've had reverse where you've had a not good boss, and then all of a sudden once the boss changes, I've been in a situation where it was like almost an instant change where you were like, woo, all of a sudden, like almost like a weight lift off of you.
Not to mention in a private situation when there's a person that runs everything or whatever that's responsible for everything, that motherfucker start having some bad days in their life. There's no filter between you and them, really, and not everybody knows how to keep that off of you, you know what I mean? So like, you know, if you're working in a corporate environment and someone starts dealing with some like mental health issues or something, you know, corporations, their doctors, there's rules, there's a structure in place that might be able to kind of keep everything at least in a uniform fashion,
right?
But if you work straight for one person and they start experiencing these things, now you're fucked. You know what I mean? Like, you gotta hope that they are not coming in the office and bringing this shit with them. Like, it can be scary as hell. So a good boss is like, it's almost it's priceless. There's no way to put a cost on just the mental energy you don't expend when you have a good boss.
Right. And the thing I realize about bosses, everybody don't need to be a boss. Everybody, quote unquote, want to be a boss, but everybody don't need to be a boss. All people that are in positions of power when it comes to being a boss, everybody not trained. Everybody don't have people skills. Everybody don't have management skills, time management skills. Everybody ain't flexible. And, you know, they give you HR says that these are the rules, but it's up to your manager's discretion. And you got some managers, they will follow that motherfucker to the T, and you going, well, you know, you working with people, then you wonder why you can't get nobody fucking volunteer, because every time something happens, you want to tick and tack me to death. No, I'm not volunteering. No, I'm not working no overtime. Fuck you.
The other thing, though, is like, a lot of times you don't know you're a shitty boss. Who gonna tell them?
That's true too.
You know, like, that's one of the things I did like about corporate America was the oversight of like, well, nigga, you a shitty boss, let's talk to your boss. You know what I mean? Not that that's always gonna work out, but at least I had a recourse. But you know,
I'll go to Human Resources and be like, hey, this, they need to get their lives together. I don't know what's happening, but I'm reporting them. You know what's the problem.
I feel targeted, I feel harassed, da 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 da. But you know, sometimes in a you know, non-structured environment, man, motherfuckers making it up as they go. And you realize that when you get older.
Correct.
Once you realize, once you become an adult, you realize how little your life is scripted and how much you can do, you know, a lot of things a lot of different ways. Mm-hmm. You know, not that you never have to do anything you don't want to do, but even the things that you have to do, you can find a way to do them that maybe nobody had thought about before. You know,
yep. And I think and when it comes to a lot of things, I think personal skills, communication skills,
right,
you know, knowing people's personalities. You know, people take that Myers-Briggs personality test. A lot of people blow that shit off, but that shit matters, because sometimes you wonder why would people respond in certain ways. You go, oh, okay, if I knew these things, you know, or how you would respond to certain things, and even those aren't 100% accurate, but most of the time, if you answered it truly, you get a correct thing. Because some people would prefer for you to send them emails, some people would prefer for you to come by their desk, you know, and a lot of times it prevents and reduces confrontation if you just know the people's personality. But people really don't care about things like that. You know, a lot of good managers actually take a lot of these things into consideration and realize that you have to approach every person differently.
Also, like, knowing yourself, how you deal with conflict, professionalism,
right?
You know, I think one of the things about corporate America that stuck with me is, you know, some of the communication stuff, like how I talk to people, when I want to make sure I talk to them, when they're hitting me up in a professional capacity. It's different than talking to me in a personal capacity.
Yes, it is.
You know, so it's that kind of thing that, you know, you have to learn, but
like an on off switch.
Yeah, but I'm glad to have those skills to be able to turn them on when it's time, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, it's just different, man. Like, you'll see it sometimes on Twitter where someone's like in a professional capacity going off about something, and you're like, dog, this is your brand and your business, and you're going off about why this person emailed you and they're a customer that wants a refund. You know what I mean? Like, that's, you know, that's not good. And if you got employees, like, that's the person they work for, you know? So it's kind of scary. All right, let's see, what else can we do? How about some fucking with black people. Mm-hmm. We're just fucking with those black people. We're just fucking with those blacks. We're just fucking with black people. That's right, guys. Time to play the game we all hate to play. It's fucking with black people. The game, we go all around the globe. We find different articles make us feel fucked with, and we assign point scores from 0 to 100, intervals of 25. Today's contestants, everybody. All right. Let's see who's fucking with us. A golf club apologizes for calling the cops on black women members. They were members, and you called the cops. Well, I wonder what they were doing. They must have been beating people up with golf clubs, I assume, Karen. Right?
Whooping asses on the nine.
Mm-hmm. On the back nine.
Mm-hmm.
A golf club in Pennsylvania has apologized for calling the police on a group of black women after the co-owner and his father said they were playing too slowly and refused to request to leave the course.
I wouldn't have left either. I paid my fucking membership fees.
Yeah, also, like, you can ask for a playthrough.
What's that?
So in golf, there's people constantly playing. Some people play slower than others. So if you have somebody ahead of you and you're playing at a brisk pace, you can politely ask, hey, do you guys mind if we play through? And that means they let you go ahead of them. Like, you play the hole first, then they play it.
Okay, because they're moving at a quicker pace.
Right. Yeah. I felt we were discriminated against, one of the women, Monica Ojo, said to the New York Daily Record. It was a horrible experience. Sandra Thompson and four friends met up Saturday to play a round of golf at the Grandview Golf Club, where they are all members, she told the newspaper. At the second hole, a white man whose son co-owns the club comes up to them twice to complain they weren't keeping up with the pace of play. Thompson, an attorney and the head of the York chapter of the NAACP, told the newspaper it was untrue. So wait, Thompson is the head of NAACP.
When you said, I thought, woo, he got the wrong one.
You got the wrong one, baby.
Yeah, baby. Like you thought you was fucking around with a regular nigga.
On the same hole, another member of the group, Sandra Harrison, said she spoke with Grandview Golf Pro, who said they were fine since they were keeping pace with the group ahead of them. Despite that, the women skipped the third hole to avoid any other issues, she said.
Oh, so they skipped the hole.
Mm-hmm. It's part of golf etiquette that slow-moving players let groups behind them play through if they're holding things up, and often golf courses have personnel who monitor the pace of play, letting golfers know when they are taking too long. The five are part of a larger group of local women known as Sisters of the Fairway. Black women be grouping up, man. I love it. The group has been around for at least a decade. All of its members are experienced players who have golfed all over the country and the world. Thompson said they were very familiar with golf etiquette, she said. After the ninth hole, where it's customary to take a break before continuing to the next nine holes, three of the group decided to leave because they were so shaken up by the earlier treatment. Mm-hmm. That's how it happened. That shit happened to them on the second hole. Seven holes later, it's like, girl, I'm out. Like, racism really be ruining our day sometimes. And we get exhausted dealing with it. I was thinking today, like, how the fuck do I get exhausted dealing with racism? But white people that are racist don't never get tired of being racist.
No, because it doesn't emotionally affect them.
Not just that, but it's an effort. Yeah. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
It is an effort. Just do anything, that some shit you think feels effortless. Like me holding this thing right here.
And to them,
I can't hold this forever. At some point, I'm going to put this shit down because I'm just like, yeah, it doesn't take that much effort. But it is an effort to remain vigilant about being a racist. Like, you have to, you know, like the people on social media that go find someone to be mad about and get in their Twitter mentions. Mm-hmm. The people that, you know, like this guy, I'm going to call the police. They spent the whole time behind the women complaining. The women skipped the hole. They was mad about that. You know, wait, they take a break at the ninth. Like, everybody takes a fucking break. And they were mad about that. Like, that shit is like, you don't never get tired of being racist.
No.
That is crazy. Wow. You'll never just be like, yo, mm-hmm. I was going to call him a nigger, but I'm going to be honest, I don't even have it in me today, John. Let's mm-hmm. just let them play and we'll just sit back here. We'll be racist tomorrow. Okay. Mm-hmm. It's Sunday. We're having a good time. Let's take a racist break. Catch our racist breath. You know, get our racist stamina back up. And then we'll be racist Monday through Saturday. It's my cheat day. Okay. Just gonna not treat these niggers like niggers today, okay? I'm sorry to let everybody down today, but I am flummoxed, okay? I am exhausted and I am tired. I need a nap.
Like I said, it does not emotionally affect them. When shit don't emotionally affect you, it's really easy to just do your thing and not worry about it because it does not emotionally directly impact your life.
Yeah, I guess I'm not even just talking about the emotion of it. I'm talking about the effort of it. Like, people don't go to the gym every day because they get tired.
Yeah.
But motherfuckers don't never get tired of being racist.
No.
They don't never just be like, I can't. You know what I mean? Like, nothing good ever happened in their life. Oh, you know what? Avengers comes out tomorrow. I'm going to take the day off from being racist. Mm-hmm. I'm just going to enjoy Avengers tomorrow. I'll be racist on Friday. You know, I'll be right back to calling them niggers and darkies, but, you know, hey, I got engaged today. I'm going to just stop. I'm going to celebrate me and my girl. And I'm going to just stop. That's crazy. Can't even, like, this is recreational for them. These white men go here to have fun. And they still had to take some time to be racist. That's, wow, it's, all right, I'm getting exhausted just talking about it.
Yeah, like somebody said, it makes them feel good. And then, like you say, people love to feel good. And being racist make you feel good. Why would you give up something that makes you feel superior?
I guess, man. I mean, obviously, I'm the one that don't understand.
Mm-mm. And we never will.
Northern York County Regional Police arrived, conducted interviews, and left without charging anyone. Oh! Oh!
Because no,
so are we saying... Nope, Karen, that's not even where I'm going with it. Hold on. Are we saying that when the police are called, even by the co-owner of an establishment,
right,
they don't have to arrest nobody.
No, they don't.
Oh, well, one does never fucking cease. Oh, I thought there was no choice. You get a call and you just show up and you gotta put a nigga in handcuffs. It's just no other way to do it. What am I supposed to do? My hands are tied. Well, I'll be goddamned, Karen. I guess these cops are gonna get fired for negligence.
Shit, they might.
They showed up, asked some questions, got some answers, and decided, I don't think this is anything to send anyone to jail for. Well, I'll be damned. Yeah. And then, you know, the rest part, all parties left and we left as well. So that means the black women went home, the racist people went home, and the cops went home. So the racist people ruined everybody's Sunday.
Right.
Of course they didn't get a phone, get a answer on the phone when they called Steve Chronister. Jordan Chronister's wife and co-owner of the club, JJ Chronister, said Sunday she called the women to personally apologize.
They don't want them problems.
We sincerely apologize to the women for making them feel uncomfortable here at Grandview. That is not our intention in our any way. We want all our members to feel valued and that they can come out here and have a great time, play golf, and enjoy the experience. She said she hopes to meet with them to discuss how the club can use what happened as a learning experience and do better in the future. Thompson said she's not sure a meeting is what needs to happen. There needs to be something more substantial to understand they don't treat people in this manner.
Right.
Lawsuit.
You know it. You fuck around and meet with the person over NAACP. Yes, you're going to get a motherfucking lawsuit. It's several things, you know, here when you look at it. They contacted them to try to smooth it over. I don't know how much country clubs cost, but I guarantee they golf club ain't motherfucking cheap. And for them to be a member of them women is spending a lot of money. So you don't want to lose that money. Cause they can be like, you know, I can take my thousands of dollars that I spend to be here and take my ass somewhere else.
It did say they had money and they travel around the world playing Sisters of the what you call them.
I guarantee you, they spent a lot of fucking money to be a member of this fucking club. So they were like, hey, we can't be fucking up our money because you want to cut an asshole and be a racist today.
Well, there's also just the money that's in, you know, if we sue y'all and the bad publicity.
Right.
And, you know,
other black people that are members would be like, hey. Right.
Y'all become the golf course that is known as the racist golf course, as opposed to...
Yeah, I know some of them don't care, but some of them do care.
Right, right. 0 to 100.
Oh, 100.
I give it 100 as well.
Yeah, I don't even know how to play golf, and I'd be mad.
Yeah, this is... The hazards, another thing we can't do while black, can't sit and wait for coffee.
Play golf with you a member, can't work out at the gym, you paid to be, and that's the thing,
can't get utensils at Waffle House.
Right, that's the thing, you pay for shit and it's still a problem.
Right.
I'm not stealing your shit, I'm not walking at the door, I paid to have the right to be here, you still like, no.
Yep. Out. I was trying to play a news article. This shit is loud as fuck.
Okay. I was like,
sorry, Jeff. I know you out there listening. I could not have known. I'm sorry. Jesus Christ. And it's just music. It didn't even play the news. I thought it was going to show us like the, you know, anyway, I'll just read it. Motherfuckers. I swear to God.
Them and these videos and black gown trying to take us back to MySpace days. Don't nobody want that bullshit.
Sound like a techno club. Wow. Good now, wow.
I don't know, club. What's happening here?
Is that the only way niggas get news these days? Drop that beat, homie.
I know. I got to have a hot beat when I read.
We got some racism happening. Wow, 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 wow. Popular Fort Worth bar may be using dress code to discriminate. Club goer says.
No shit.
I don't know, Karen. I find that hard to believe.
No shit.
I'm gonna need more evidence. Sam Saeed was excited to show his out-of-town friends his hometown. Saeed was born in Dallas, grew up in Arlington, lived in Fort Worth for 6 years. I don't care about any of this. So last month, he was not only horrified, but ashamed to find that his friend Steven, a black man from the Bronx, BX in the house, baby, was turned away from Varsity Tavern, a popular bar in West 7th area, supposedly because he was wearing Jordan sneakers. Well, how could you possibly know that? I mean, hey, if they say no Jordans, then I guess it wasn't racist, Karen.
Yeah, but you look in there and you see Jennifer and Bob barefooted.
Spoiler alert. Did you read this?
No.
Okay, then. I think I'll stick with the facts here, ma'am. However, Saeed and Steven say Steven was turned away because of his race. Four other people told the Star Telegram that they believed they were bar entrance to the bar, or someone denied them entrance because of their race when bouncers used selective enforcement of the dress code. The manager of the bar declined to speak to the Star Telegram on the record. The bar issued this prepared statement. Varsity Tavern takes these incidents and accusations very seriously, and we are in the process of doing an internal investigation into this matter.
We ain't gonna do shit.
Saeed said he noticed people were dressed casually at the Varsity Tavern when he and his friends decided to go in. Okay, you look inside. They wearing what we wearing. We should be able to walk on in.
Right.
Okay, big fear in my life. Big thing I deal with. All right.
Yeah, this is why I don't like places with dress codes.
Yep. Others already inside were wearing sneakers. But bounce at the door, who turned Steven away, cited the tavern's dress code policy, saying he couldn't allow anyone wearing Jordans into the establishment. They left. About an hour later, at the bar across the street, Saeed and Steven and the rest of the group met another friend, Sean Gallagher, and decided to test their theory about why Steven wasn't allowed into the varsity. So what did they do? They used Gallagher, who is white, and they had him put on the Jordans.
Come on.
And Steven put on Gallagher Sperry's, a type of boat shoe. The group made its way back to the varsity, and from a distance, Saeed and Steven watched as a different bouncer led Gallagher into the bar without questioning his outfit or his shoes.
Right.
Steven and Saeed got in line to get their IDs checked again. Come Steven's turn, the bouncer triple checked his shoes before allowing him in. It ruined Steven's whole night when he realized what had just happened. Right. Says Saeed. Of course. Steve from the Bronx is like, this some racist shit. Once the group got inside the bar, Steven and Gallagher switched their shoes back. Okay. Reasonable. I mean, they let him in with Jordans. Why can't I stay with Jordans, right? Steven, who asked that his last name not be used, said a security guard came up to them almost immediately and asked Steven how he got in with the Jordans, and the guard told him they had to leave, and they did. You heard me, Karen. He switched. Oh, man.
Switch shoes. That's how you get just shoes.
He switched back to the Jordans. And then once the black dude put his Jordans back on, already inside the bar, they immediately got his ass up out of there.
Right, so they target niggas with sneakers on.
How did they even know? Is that this?
Somebody might have probably seen them.
Oh no! The nigga with Jordans alarm's going off. Who let a nigga in with Jordans? Sir, can I speak to you over here, sir? That's the only way. It must be nigga with Jordan alarms everywhere in the.
Right. Who got on Jordans? Who got right. on Jordans?
He's like, hey man, give my shoes back, man. These motherfuckers tripping, man. I hate this racist ass shit. I'm put these up. What the fuck is going on? Let me take these off. What was that? Did y'all hear that? Anyway, let me put these shoes back on. Let's see what's going on. What the fuck is?
Up.
I'm going to just take these back off real quick. Hey man, let me see them boat shoes again. Okay, boat shoes.
No sound.
I'm going around. I'm drinking Hennessy. I'm doing a lot of black things in these shoes. I guess I'm fine. All right, man. Well, yeah, I don't know what that, maybe I thought it was a smoke, like fire detector or something. I don't know. Let me get my Jordans back though, man. Them shits cost a grip. I know they cost more than your little bow shoes. You know what I'm saying? Nah, I'm gonna throw these back on real. Oh! Damn, what is that? Sir, we're gonna need you to come with us. Well, how do they know?
Somebody got the alert.
They got a fucking, some AI cameras that, Jordan, nigga recognition? You know, you got facial recognition. Nigga recognition. We got a nigga over by the bar. Let's get his ass out of here.
What do y'all think the fuck he gonna do with his sneakers?
Who knows? They keep, that's where they keep the guns.
They keep them in the bottom of the shoes.
Inside the Jordans. I'm sure Stephen A. Smith would have conned this. Anyway, so yeah, they kicked him out. Yep.
Yeah, that's whatever. We got dress code. I'm like, my black ass ain't going then, because I want to be able to wear what the fuck I want to wear.
And of course, it ruined Steven's whole night.
Right. And think about this. Your friend.
Think about this. Steven, the one that don't want to put his name in the article. Right. Steven didn't do nothing wrong. Steven just wanted to go out and have a good time with his friends. But it's so. Steven, like, man, I don't even really want to do it. The worst part is that they use black bouncers to do shit like this at all these places. You know, you ask these bouncers, they'll tell you straight up. They be like, hey, don't let too many niggas in.
Correct.
You know?
And then the white people, it's white flight. They won't want to come in.
Right. They see more than two niggas in the place, and all of a sudden it's the projects to them. 0 to 100.
100.
Mm-hmm. I would give it 100 as well. That's ridiculous. Oh my God, this nigga Kanye on Twitter is tripping. I'm not. Nope, not doing this.
Nope, not gonna do it. Just tell me when the next album come out. Other than that, I don't want to hear it.
Oh my God. 100 for Kanye. He's on the list now. He is. Every time his name come up, 100. I'm not even reading the articles no more. You win. Mm-mm. You win, Kanye.
No, I don't read the articles.
Not gonna fight you, homeboy. You got it.
Like I said, let me know when I you know why I came. I came for the album.
An Oregon man followed a black Muslim couple for 20 blocks and hurled slurs and then burst into tears after being charged with a hate crime. He needs a safe space, guys.
I need to go to that class.
You need to take that class. You need to take that class. I like that the class exists now, so I have a place to send them.
Me too.
Sir, I'm gonna need you to go to white man class.
I mean, do you got a card? I will take your card and be like, look, here you go.
Please don't send me to white man class. Take your ass to jail and then mandatory white man class. Get the fuck out of my face, Trevor.
You got to go to white man class.
I don't want to go. Too bad, Tucker. You shouldn't be walking around calling people racial slurs. Get the fuck out of my face.
Right.
Aw, jeez.
Here's your ticket. Take your ass on.
Why can you say cracker, but I can't say the N-word?
Here's your card. That, for you saying that is the reason why you need to go to white man class, Bob.
Right. Go to white man class. Go directly to white man class. Do not pass go.
Here you go,
Jerry. Do not collect $200.
Go learn some shit.
A Portland, Oregon man is giving me a particular type of joy after breaking down crying, expressing heartfelt regret after being charged with a hate crime early this week for allegedly hurling slurs and intimidating a black Muslim couple. KGW reports that Frederick Nolan Sorrell, 49, charged with second degree intimidation after allegedly tormenting the Muslim couple on May 29th. Sorrell is accused of driving next to the couple for more than 20 blocks.
What?
And attempting to hit their vehicle several times while shouting, take off the fucking burqa, this is America, go back to your fucking country, and mimicking firing a handgun. Surprisingly, Sorrell, who made bail, pleaded not guilty in court Monday and quickly burst into delicious crocodile tears, claiming that he never meant any harm. He insisted he was waving his hand and pointing his finger, not making gun gesture. 20 blocks of following me, I don't give a fuck if you were fucking, it doesn't matter, there's no hand signal that would be okay, and then you also telling me to go back to my country and take my burqa off. I never tried to run into them. I was just going to work. I never tried to follow them. I never tried to make contact with them.
Y'all were going the same direction for 20 fucking blocks.
Mm-hmm. He did, however, acknowledge that he yelled at the couple. I guess my fear and paranoia, I just yelled out. Oh, your fear? White people get scared and do some wild shit. Shit that my black ass would never think of.
Mm-mm. Your fear causes death, baby.
I get scared. I'll be like, I want to leave. I want to run. I got to get out of here. Who the fuck gets scared and goes, I'm going to be racist for the next 20 blocks? You probably was late to work. You probably could have been past these people. You just slowing down. Listen, you towelhead motherfuckers. Beep, beep. Middle finger, gun emoji, hands. Fuck out of here. You gonna die. Go back to your country. I was just so scared. I couldn't help myself. Oh, my God. Whew. Oh, I hate when I get scared and I just be racist.
Right. All white racism is, white supremacy is just fear of brown people.
I mean, listen, guys. I mean, greed, capitalism. Them motherfuckers, listen, guys, we didn't want to have slaves. We got to Africa and we got so scared. We had to capture and transport these people and brutalize them for 400 years and make them work for free. We were scared. What was he supposed to do?
We were scared.
I mean, wouldn't you? You ain't never been that scared?
Scared and profitable.
Don't what about you? Hey, man, I was just so scared the other night, man. I just had to, you know how it is. I just had to beat up this little child. Yeah, I was scared. I thought I heard something. Next thing you know, I was beating up children at the playground. You know how it is. Fuck out of here, man. He says, I guess my ignorance is to my stupidity is why I opened my mouth and I shouldn't have, and I claim full responsibility. I don't know who you are.
Why you pleading not guilty then?
I'm sorry I blurted out what I blurted out. My paranoia, my fear. I don't hate you. I don't know you. I don't wish death upon these people. This is too much Rush Limbaugh. That's what told you.
That's
do
what he
it.
Said. Oh.
No, I'm saying.
Oh yeah, and I believe yes.
Yeah, listen to that shit in his car. I guarantee his shit was on the AM radio dial.
That's what happened when you feed into a lot of that negativity.
Go back to your country and shit. Coming up, mega dittos after the break and shit.
Yep.
All up on his radio. And if you see a Muslim, which you know this nigga never sees, if you see a Muslim, do something to him. Because we scared. We the ones. Sharia law. Now these good Christian laws is oppressing the fuck out of everybody. That's okay. But Sharia law, I'm scared. Shit, I'm surprised these motherfucking restrictive ass Christians don't have more in common with the laws they claim that Muslims want to put on the country. They scared as fuck of women.
Come on.
Let them tell it. Women should be walking around covered from head to toe. Sometimes I think the only reason they act more progressive about women dressing in America is because they hate Muslims that much.
Right.
But they got a lot in common with them. Let a woman get raped and won't they be like she should be covered up from head to toe and only her eyes showing. Let that shit happen. But then when you say, well, I mean, look, that's not cool because, you know, that's Sharia law. They'd be like, goddamn right. I hate Sharia law. It's ridiculous. Women shouldn't be able to control their bodies though. Even if they got wrecked, they should have a child. Well, damn, dog, that's even worse. well, you know, Jesus wanted that way. You know how he was. He was a big fan of rape babies. Fuck out of my face.
Right.
If the victims want to sit down and talk, I would love to. I don't want to sit down and talk to your ass.
They killed me with that talking bullshit.
Come on.
Here's your card. Go to white man class and get the fuck out of my face.
Right. Motherfucker try to do some wild shit and come to you after that. If you want to sit down and talk. No, nigga, I don't want to talk to you. You chase me down the street
no,
for 20 blocks.
Joshua, go right. away.
Get the fuck out of my face. Yeah, I just don't know them. All I know is the fear-based information. That didn't stop. Why is that their responsibility? Go Google is free. Google some shit.
Google this
read some articles. Buy a fucking book. Get a Kindle subscription. Get you some fucking audio books. It's nobody's job to educate you just because they riding to work. You and not one time in this fucking equation did he ever consider what the fuck were they doing? Just living a life. And now you're like, well, if you want to sit down and have a beer, we talk about it. No, I don't want to talk to your racist ass. No. Time for that is gone long over with. Yeah, and they didn't say whether the couple would take him up, but I'm gonna assume not, and I hope not. Fuck that nigga. Take him up, that shit. Educate your ass, you racist piece of shit.
I really do want a white man card.
Like, it must be so beautiful to have nothing else to do. How you just, like, how you get...
Want me to tell you why?
How's he not tired, Karen? He crying in the courtroom. All because he expended this extra energy to be racist. Could have just... Like, you don't drive by a Muslim person and go, oh God, a Muslim. I was told to hate them. But I gotta be at work by 8:15 and I'm running a little late. You know what? Not today. Do they always gotta be like, I'm gonna make the time to be racist?
Yeah.
Jesus.
Yeah, they got to make the time. Mm-hmm. Want me to tell you why, baby? Cause there was nothing else to do, Sal.
But this ain't, I mean, well, it is crime. Yeah,
come on.
That's the football wasn't on. He was boycotting because niggas were taking knees. 0 to 100.
Oh, 100.
Yeah, 100. I don't know. Any more of these?
Hey, about to get 100.
That college student who smeared bodily fluids on the black roommate's belongings.
Mm-hmm.
She received special probation to avoid criminal record. Yeah, 100. I'm not even reading it.
Nah.
All right, let's see what the time is on this. All right, let's move into another section. This was trash.
Let's do obvious. That, right?
Speaking of trash, should we do men being trash? Let's see who's been fucking up.
I
do want to do this. Now it does have a trash sound effect, and I was told that this was too loud for Jeff's ears last time.
Okay,
I need to get the sound effect and low. I'll try to lower the volume.
Right.
But this time I'm just gonna have to play it lower, and I hope that it does a better job. Okay, lowered it to halfway, man. Hope this works. This shit too loud, and it's just the beeps. It's just you. So, I don't know.
Yeah, that's better. A lot better.
All right, I'll figure something out. I'll have to lower that later. Anyway, trash time. Toronto, there was a van attack where a lot of people died. 13 counts of attempted murder.
Oh.
10 counts of first degree murder by Alec Manassian, who's 25 years old. Yeah, apparently he posted a hostile message towards women on Facebook, most for his daily rampage. Reminds me of that dude in California.
No, start off with women, and then we kill everybody.
These mass free motherfuckers, dog. They
well, I'm assuming killers. They white too, right? That's not something.
I don't have his race.
Okay.
That one dude was Asian that did it in USC or whatever.
Okay.
I think this is one of those things that honestly is not necessarily about race.
No,
I think
you men, just don't like women.
Male entitlement crosses all races. The rampage shattered a peaceful Monday afternoon when a white rider rental van roared down Yonge Street, a main Toronto thoroughfare, plowed into pedestrians along a stretch of more than a mile. 10 people were killed by the van, which police said he was had rented that morning. 14 people were hurt, not 15 as earlier reported, with wounds ranging from scrapes and bruises to terrible injuries. They declined to specify the genders of the victims. Asked if the driver had been targeting women. They said at this stage we have no evidence. Yeah, that's the other thing too. Like with that dude at USC, it was Elliot something. Anyway, when,
Elliot Roger.
Yeah, so when these motherfuckers attacked, he was shooting men and women. And of course you got the not all men people. You got the people going and saying it wasn't about hating women and all this shit. And, you know, they just refuse to admit that there's problems with hating women, that it takes different forms, and driving a van, you probably hitting men, women, children, everything, but you went and explicitly said why and who you're angry at on social media. I'm gonna just take your word for it.
Me too.
Person who does the killing, I'm gonna just take your word for it. His now deleted Facebook account portrayed a troubled young man who harbored resentment towards women, had a picture for a computer program, and served briefly in the military last year and appeared determined to die. Former classmates at his secondary school said he displayed extreme social awkwardness, but they said he had seemed harmless, had shown no propensity for violence, and that the news that he was an attacker had shocked their close-knit high school community. He was an odd guy, hardly mixed with other students. Ari Blaff, a former high school's classmate who was now a graduate student in international relations at the University of Toronto. He had several tics and would sometimes grab the top of his shirt and spit on it, meow in the hallway to say, "I'm afraid of girls." It was like his mantra. That is really weird. He did not express strong ideological views or harass women, Mr. Blaff said, but he was isolated and privately made fun of him. He was a loner and had few friends, Mr. Blaff said. Who's Mr. Blaff again?
Mm-hmm.
Former high school classmate. Okay. John Kirsten, who took photography class with him in high school, works in the mental health field, said he had difficulty communicating and expressed fear that women could hurt him. Other classmates say he literally ran away when women approached, even female students determined to befriend him. He would cower, avoid eye contact when he saw a girl. He would shut down completely. I never saw him have a normal conversation. Classmates said he sometimes joked around with other male students. Other signs of sympathy for misogyny appeared in his Facebook account, posting that Sergeant Gibson said the suspect had a posting that he had made minutes before the rampage, praised Elliot Roger, who killed 6 people in May 2014 in Isla Vista, California, before shooting himself. He had made a YouTube video describing his rage that women had rejected him and that he was a virgin at the age of 22. And I still remember men everywhere saying it wasn't about that. It wasn't about misogyny. It wasn't about hurting women. Why would he shoot men if he hated women? Shit like that. And it was really one of the most disappointing days on social media and just disappointing weeks I've ever seen. Because it's just, it's right there in your face.
Right.
And it's the same people that claim to see when some racist person shoots up Waffle House. We don't need a video of that dude that shot at Waffle House to tell us he was racist.
Come on.
But yet, here we go, you know. The Facebook post by Mr. Menacing, praising incels or involuntary celibates, a term used in a Reddit group where men vented frustration that tipped into misogyny. Yeah, this gathering place of Reddit for some of this shit is just such a cesspool.
Come on.
And it's scary that shit is just thriving there, you know? At any rate, man, trash. Another dude that hates women, violent towards all these people, and, you know, I'm sure it'll be, I'm sure it'll be different. For a lot of people, if for some reason they won't be able to see it. Ashanti becomes the latest black female celebrity to share her Me Too stories of sexual harassment. Once I said no, all of a sudden the track became $45,000.
Woo!
As allegations of sexual misconduct and assault continue to spread throughout Hollywood, more women and men alike are coming forward to share their experiences. In fact, Ashanti has become the most recent black female celebrity to share her own Me Too story. The foolish singer spilled the details in an interview on SiriusXM's Conversations with Maria Menounos, as she revealed that she was sexually harassed by a producer who refused to release her music without an exchange of sexual favors. I've come across a situation where there was a certain producer that, you know, he had his little crush or whatever, but it wasn't anything new, you know. And once I said no, all of a sudden the trap became $45,000. It's funny because he said something like, well, just take a shower with me and let me do this. The Harvey Weinstein. She continued as she explained the producer apologized when one of her big brothers stepped in. Oh, when a man said something, right?
It was like, dog, don't do that.
Right. You know, it's weird because in the industry, a lot of women will surround themselves and protect themselves by having men that they trust or that they think they can trust, that have their back, you know, especially if you're single. And right. You're not under the, you know, sometimes you're not able to be like, I have a husband, I have a boyfriend, whatever.
That's why a lot of times they have men as bodyguards and things like that.
Yeah, not just bodyguards, but like position of a power, of authority.
Right.
Because like, you know, this producer probably be like, I hire a fire bodyguard, I don't give a fuck about that. But then if like, say, Ja Rule came to him and was like, man, you need to lay off. It's like, well, I don't want to piss off Ja Rule. It's like, well, this is Ashanti and you wanted to work with her and then it just turned into how can I fuck, you know, that, you know, Love and Hip Hop has it every week, you know. The way that apology came in, I actually got 3 records for free, Ashanti said, and I got 2 of them mixed and mastered for free also. However, according to the songsters, not everyone's blessed to have people look out for them, of right. course, protect them when need be. I'm blessed because I have that, she said, and she reflected on an experience that happens, and it does, and it's unfortunate. Yeah, because somebody could have been like, I'm gonna have to fuck this nigga because I don't got the $45K, and then we would have blamed her.
Right,
it's your fault. Why did you do that? Let's see what else happened. I think we already talked about the Ren and Stimpy nigga, didn't we? Okay, cool. That's an old one. The Met Opera has fired James Levine for sexually abusing and harassing young musicians, including some he would force into mutual masturbation.
What?
Yep, he's been a powerhouse at the Met Opera. He's been fired on account of a history of sexual abuse and harassment.
From my understanding, that's big time opera, right? People pay all that money for them tickets.
Yep. The musical conductor debuted at the Opera House in 1971, but was fired Monday after investigations stitched together a history of sexual harassment dating back to the 1960s.
Good God.
Yep, been able to operate with impunity for 50 years at least.
Ooh.
The Met Opera opened an investigation in December, interviewing more than 70 people.
Wow.
Who had revealed accounts of his abuse that included mutual masturbation among his students. Levin was iconic at the Met, instantly recognizable by his bushing frock of hair and towel draped over his shoulder during rehearsals, and with an impressive career that saw him conduct a Vienna Philharmonic and Salzburg Festival. Monday, it was announced that an investigation found abuse accounts from both before and during the period of his 46-year musical career at the Met. Although the specific findings have not been released, the Met announced that it uncovered credible evidence of his abusive history to those under his authority. The investigation uncovered credible evidence that he had engaged in sexual abuse and harassing conduct both before and during the period that he worked at the Met. The investigation also uncovered credible evidence that he engaged in sexually abusive harassing conduct towards vulnerable artists in the early stages of their careers, right, over whom he had authority. That mentorship rears its head in so many stories.
Yeah, I'm getting to the point where I'm frightened. Nope, don't mentor me, and I'm not going to mentor nobody else, because a lot of people use that as a way to abuse people.
Yeah, and that's just the sexual abuse, but there's also like emotional abuse, physical abuse and shit that
mental
happens.
Mental abuse.
Yeah. Anytime you position a person as an authority over you, a lot of people end up being like, I think a lot of manipulative people are attracted to that.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, cool. A person that needs my help. Well, now here I am. What are they going to do? In a lot of these findings, the Met concludes that it would be inappropriate and impossible for Mr. Levin to continue to work at the Met. The investigation was led by U.S. Attorney Robert J. Cleary. Damn. That's some power behind that.
Yeah, they was like, oh, we not fucking around. Because the Met is expensive, from my understanding. They was like, no. We not getting just no nobody. We going to get somebody that if they come back and tell us they found some shit, nigga, you got to go.
They interviewed 70 people, Karen.
Except because you got somebody from the U.S. federal government, got all them resources, be like, let's go. Let's do this.
Right. He responded to the accusations, calling them unfounded. And that I have not lived my life as an oppressor or an aggressor. 70 people, dog.
I don't believe you.
What in the Bill fucking Cosby is that, homie? 70? Nigga, there ain't no hand. That's, I mean, not that a handful is less credible, but nigga, 70. 70. I don't know what on earth they could be talking about.
They just making shit up.
The article revealed that Count of Ashok Pai, who reported to Lake Forest, Illinois police that he was 16 when he was abused by Levine after a Ravinia music festival. The man said Levine held his hand in an incredibly sensual way, and the following summer lay naked with him in bed and touched his penis. Levine was in his early 40s at the time, and this guy was 16. Pai told Lake Forest police of the incident the fall of 2016, but law enforcement said they would not bring criminal charges against Levin, saying that although the age of consent in Illinois is 17, it was 16 back in 1986 when the incident took place. And how much you want to bet he knew that? The New York Times also reported the accounts of three other students who were abused by Levin. One alleged victim, Chris Brown, said, I'm probably not that Chris Brown, said that he was abused by Levine in the summer of 1968 when he was 17. Definitely not that Chris Brown. He was a student at the Meadowbrook School of Music in Michigan at the time when Levine led the school's orchestral program. It happened in a dorm room during the night when Levine allegedly masturbated on him and asked him to reciprocate. When he declined to do so, Levine allegedly punished Brown by ignoring him for the rest of the summer program, even while conducting him. That emotional abuse, man, people be using that ignoring shit as emotional abuse, bruh. I'm not gonna talk to you then until you do what I tell you to do. Get the fuck out of my face. And now you're in a position of power, so you really fucking my career up.
Right.
Because I didn't want to jack off on you back. Not to mention you already jacked off on me, cuz. That was it. Like, what the fuck? I didn't sign up for any of this.
Mm-mm. I didn't sign up for sperm. I signed up to be taught some music.
I gotta do it too? Get the fuck. Disgusting motherfucker. Anyway, man. That he ain't shit.
Mm-mm. That's a lot of people.
Heather Locklear charged with 4 counts of battery and resisting an officer following domestic abuse arrest. And apparently this ain't her first time.
Oh.
I did not know all this. Heather Locklear is heading to court with the Ventura County Sheriff's Office charging the Melrose Place star 5 misdemeanors after responding to a domestic abuse call at her home last month. The 56-year-old actress is facing 4 counts of battery upon an officer and emergency personnel with a single count of resist, obstruct, delay a police officer or EMT. Locklear, who is currently in rehab following her arrest, is set to be arraigned on Tuesday. She was arrested on suspicion of injuring a partner and fighting with the sheriff's officers at her home. She had just returned from a trip to Boston at the time when she and her boyfriend Chris Heisler began to fight. Her daughter Ava, 20, was also in the house at the time. In 2008, she pleaded guilty to reckless driving after being arrested on suspicion of a more serious trial to driving under the influence of prescription drugs. She was married to Bon Jovi in 94 to 2007 and Tommy Lee from 1986 to 93. An acclaimed Korean director is accused of rape. Acclaimed South Korean director Kim Ki-duk, whose films have played at Cannes, Berlin, and Venice, has been accused of rape and sexual harassment. The harassment allegations were made by 3 actresses speaking anonymously during a Me Too themed documentary by the investigative journalism program PD Notebook, which aired Tuesday night on Korean TV. Among accusers of the former Venice Golden Lion winner, Pieta, for 2012, was one actress who expanded on a previously made claim that she was fired from the 2013 movie Mobius, because she refused him sex. She also reiterated an assertion that she was slapped by the filmmaker. A local court ordered Kim to pay a fine of $5,000 for physical assault, but the charges of sexual violence were not pursued due to lack of evidence. The same actress was recently critical of the Berlin Film Festival for programming Kim's latest film, The Time of Humans, in its panorama strand this year. The expose documentary went on to reveal a rape allegation against Kim and one of his regular collaborators, the actor Cho Jae-hyun. It was a living hell so many nights. He came to my room, slammed the door, and phoned me at the room repeatedly until I responded, said the actress of Kim. He eventually summoned her to his room to discuss a script. Mm-hmm. And then he raped me. The actress quit acting and needed many years of therapy. Right. You ruined people's careers. And yet, at the end of the day, when people hear this shit, they'll go, what about his career? What about the cost of having these predators amongst us going unfucking punished, being allowed to do whatever the fuck they want, and we all step behind them and fucking protect them from any consequences? They're already writing Louis C.K. his coming back pieces. You know what I mean? They're already doing it. No, what are y'all talking about?
Nobody gets canceled.
Right. But we gotta protect these men. Oh, it's a witch hunt. What are we gonna do for these poor men? So then the funny part is, if this dude does something else, those same people will be like, well, why is anyone working with him? What's he even doing in the industry? You can't have it both ways. Either you recognize this nigga is trash, and by those factors, he need to be gone, and there need to be rules instituted in place to make sure there cannot be another one of him, or you don't. There's no, you don't get to be both. This guy's disgusting, but I mean, what's gonna happen to his family if he can't afford to keep doing movies where he might rape somebody? I don't care. And you shouldn't either. But yeah, she needs therapy. She quits. Obviously, he's gonna fuck up her whole career, you know. And that's if he, you know, well, a lot of times these dudes are powerful enough to blackball you and shit. Right. So there's no need for me to even try to audition for anyone else. Yeah, he's well known in his homeland. He told the documentary makers he would talk about the accusations once an investigation begins. Another woman says she exited a movie after the director verbally harassed her with inappropriate sexual remarks. Yesterday's doc also featured a male crew member, male filmmaker, likewise speaking anonymously, who allegedly saw the awful incidents on the director's sets and a culture of fear which inhibited people from speaking out. That right there is a major part of all this shit.
Mm-hmm.
The power dynamic of passionate creatives need to be abusive in order to be good at what they do. No the fuck you don't. You can be a good person and also very creative. You don't need to be the fucking like, I have to abuse you. How else am I supposed to make a movie good? then we can move on to somebody else that can do it better, because I'd rather you not even have a job.
Yeah, you're not worth the hassle.
My abuse is not part of your fucking, because that shit, we talked about working for bad bosses to start the show. That shit is a large part of why a lot of people have bad bosses. That's a huge part of it. Like, there's a lot of people that justify their abuse in the workplace by saying, I need this, that's why I'm such a good boss, I'm so passionate, I tell these motherfuckers. Like, nah, nigga, what are you doing? You don't get to fucking disrespect me because I make less than you, because you, on a chart, you are above me on a chart?
Right, on a chart.
You get to come here and harass me and talk crazy to me?
Mm-hmm. I've seen, like, I've actually overheard people go into offices with a dosha and a manager flip a fucking food and cuss them smack out.
Right. So, yeah. But, yeah, and then, ironically, these men come out anonymously and they're like, I seen it too. Because people won't believe just these women, you know. Director sent the production a text message in which he denied the claims. I never tried to satisfy my personal desires using my status as a film director. He, the celebrated director, has had to previously deny that anyone suffers on the sets of his violent and often sexually explicit films. The Me Too movement has gained significant traction in Korea. Wow, that's dope. In recent weeks, with a handful of men being fired from senior posts or having to apologize due to harassment claims. Cho, for one, has already apologized for wrongdoing, multiple allegations against him. Well, get rid of him. What are y'all waiting on? Aaliyah Shawkat of Jeffrey Tambor's Transparent, that show.
Mm-hmm.
She is one of the co-stars, right?
Mm-hmm.
She was asked about the sexual harassment allegations, right?
Mm-hmm.
After his former assistant Van Barnes, a transgender woman, implied in a private Facebook post that he behaved inappropriately towards her. A few weeks later, actress Trace Lissette accused the actor of sexual advances. Most recently in March, Barnes went on Megyn Kelly Today and revealed an instance in which Tambor spied on her as she slept naked. Tambor eventually quit his job amidst accusations, later returning only to be fired from the gig and criticized the show's toxic political atmosphere. One of these good white people, he was happy to stand on that stage and say, I accept this award, but we need real trans actresses to be these, the da 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 da. Mm-hmm. Until you gotta get off the podium, right? That's the thing I'm saying, though. Everybody woke till they gotta give some shit up. Then everybody not as woke. It's hard when you gotta get off the podium. You know? It was still a white man getting all the credit, a cishead white man getting all the credit for the success of the show, you know?
Yes, it was.
Anyway, she worked closely with Tambor for years on Arrested Development. She played the teenage daughter, May. And Tambor played her grandfather, George Blue. Regarding the accusation, she said to the IndieWire, Karen, you think it's gonna be a good response or a bad response? You going with bad?
Yeah.
All right, here we go. I was surprised. Obviously, I've known him since I was very young. I support the voices of the victims, though. Whatever they say, Transparent and Amazon did their own investigations. It's been handled the way it's been handled. It's very strange. I know a lot of actresses who work with people this is happening to, but we don't have personal understandings of it. And I work with him on two shows, too, so it's kind of following me around. I hope it's all handled legally the way it should be and taken into consideration. I'm an actor. I work with him. I'm not about sharing my personal opinion of him. It's not about sharing my personal opinion of him. What those victims said needs to be heard just as much, and that's the facts, and that's just the truth of it. And they can't be squashed down because of something else. But it's also, you know, it is sad, too. What are your thoughts?
That wasn't that bad.
I thought it was a good response. Because honestly, when you don't fucking know, and these people do pick people to put around them, they don't do this to everybody.
They don't do it to everybody.
Right? I don't know. I can't vouch for this dude. She got her message across that he didn't do this shit to me. Right? Without saying it. He's been good to me. Everything's been straight on the set with me. But that ain't even important.
No.
What's important is that what these women said, and that there's investigations going on, there's legal processes that happen. It doesn't matter what the fuck I think. Mm-mm. And that's not even the story.
Right.
I love that fucking response. Why can't everyone do that?
Right.
Why can't everyone do that?
and be like, I don't know what happened.
I don't know.
Vouch for what happened, but what I can tell you is that the system is doing what it's supposed to do, and they've investigated, and what the women came out and said is true, and he should be prosecuted.
It seemed like it's the most difficult thing in the world, right?
Nobody want to cut their throat. Nobody want to fuck their money up.
Quote Lena, unquote. Look at Lena Dunham. You know, the second it was one of her homeboys, it was, well, this woman must be lying. It's not the same for everybody now. See, she ain't a Me Too. You see what I'm saying? Like, you get kicked out because I like this guy. When it was the C's, how many people? I mean, it's a C. You can't even, none of us were there. You know, like that moment of clarity where it's like, it doesn't really matter. She got her story out there. He got his. That's the moment. Y'all worry about that. What I think, what happened with me, really has zero bearing on it. Cause I can't use the lack of abuse towards me as proof he did not abuse someone else.
Right.
You can't. Anyway, I love that response. I think that was actually a dope response.
Me too.
All right, let's play some Guess the Race. Okay. Now that it's time for some Guess the Race. That's right, it's Guess the Race time. Now that it's time for some Guess the Race. That's right, it's Guess the Race time. That's right, it's time for Guess the Race. The number one game show going across all the podcast land, where I read and play news articles from all over the globe. And we ask our contestants today in the chat room to guess the race, and the chat room plays along, and they are all racist. All right, are you guys ready, Porch Monkeys? Let's get it started. A man battered his boyfriend with a singing fish.
White.
I've heard of battering fish, but that's the frown.
All right, I heard of battered fish. That's a frown.
Mm-hmm. That's what I just said.
You said battering.
Oh, okay. You know what? That's true. You did change one word a little bit. April 23rd.
I was like, wait a minute, that don't sound right. I heard a battered fish.
We have fun. A Florida man was arrested yesterday after allegedly striking his boyfriend in the head with a big mouth billy bass.
The big mouth.
Mm-hmm. The novelty singing fish.
Shit, they should have battered him and fried him. I bet he'd have been delicious.
Officers were called Sunday afternoon to a residence in Sebastian in connection with the reported domestic battery. Upon arriving at the home, police found Larry Timmerman with a laceration on his head and the injury the victim said was caused by a big mouth billy bass thrown by Gregory Carney, 54. Oh. Ooh, y'all too old for this.
Well, ain't that old? They should have just went fishing.
I'm at the age now where I'm too exhausted for all this drama sometimes. So I'd be like, how the fuck you older than me and you always in some shit? You know what I mean?
Right, beating each other with fake fishes.
Be looking around like, damn, nigga, you are exhausting. You still got energy for that, huh? Wow.
Not me. I'm good.
I'm over here already, just all up in the latest part of my 30s. Like, nah.
Ooh, time for a nap.
I'm going to let this fool cook. You right. Know? In interviews with Timmerman and Carney, cops determined the men, who have been domestic partners for 17 years, have been quarreling earlier in the day. At one point, Carney went into the den and began playing with his singing fish. Timmerman said Carney continued doing this just to aggravate him. I guess it could be aggravating, that fucking fish playing with it over and over
and singing the shit.
Mm-hmm. Here's a little song I wrote. I want to sing it note for note. Don't worry,
on repeat.
Be happy, don't worry, be happy now.
Yeah,
and you press that button and he sang that fucking song over and over again
every minute,
like you with kids. Y'all know y'all got, y'all be like, whatever you do, don't buy my child nothing to make a fucking sound, because I'm going to have to deal with that shit all damn day on repeat.
After having to endure several Big Mouth Bass performances, Timmerman removed the singing fish from the room and placed it in the trash. When Carney discovered the novelty item was missing from the den, he quizzed Timmerman on his whereabouts. Oh, you knew where it was. When Timmerman responded that Billy Bass was now in the trash, Carney became angry. Carney then fished the singing fish out of the garbage and threw it at his boyfriend. Damn. The item struck Timmerman in the head.
Yeah. I mean, you know, them shits is heavy, because you know, they got a big block of wood that they hold the fish to lay down. Right. He basically hit him with an oak.
Yeah, that's kind of fishy. I guess he shouldn't have opened his big mouth. He was just trying to balance the scales. Alright, I'm done.
Oh, see, you hit it with the hook, line, and the sinker.
I hope people listen to these jokes and no one got offended.
I'm just glad nobody got filleted.
Okay. You are really fishing for these punchlines. I gotta stop taking the bait. Alright, I'm sorry. So, yeah, he, so I'm saying y'all off the hook. Alright. He was admitted to throwing the singing fish, but said he did not aim for Larry and struck him in the head by accident. He was arrested for domestic battery, a misdemeanor, booked on county jail, now free on $500 bond. He's scheduled for a May 15th arraignment. The other dude declined medical treatment for the injury. Did not indicate whether they confiscated Billy Big Mouth as evidence. All right, Karen, guess the race.
White.
Karen's going with white. Chat room, y'all guess. So I said, glad y'all reeled it in. Yeah, we were out of line. Free on $500 white, fish and chips with an extra side of tartar sauce white. Oh, tartar sauce. The fisherman's mayonnaise.
Come on.
All right, nobody else is guessing. Guess you cucks are scared. The correct answer is white. Now, two things. We're almost at the break.
Okay.
I'll try to put them on screen real quick so y'all can see them.
Mm-hmm.
And then I have to go to the next session and come back on screen. Let me know if it showed up at all.
No problem.
I guess I'm moving a little slow, so I might have to bring him back on next segment.
Oh, he looks creepy.
Yeah. Yes. Don't he look like the motherfucker that killed them kids and I Know What You Did Last Summer?
Oh, my God. No, thank you.
All right. Going to the next session, guys. Give me 1 second.
Oh, and Billy looked just like I thought he would.
A damn big mouth bat. He should have shut his big mouth and stopped yapping to the cops. That's who told. What happened here? Here's a little song I wrote. You shut your damn mouth, Billy.
Billy's spilling all the worms.
He was spilling the worms.
Yeah, he did. Telling all your poor business.
Mm-hmm. Just up there. Just telling everybody stuff.
Ain't he though?
Spilling the guppies all over everybody.
All of them.
Mm-mm-mm. Alright, I've just added you to the page. And we'll go to the next one. Mm-mm-mm. That is sad. The worst part is that, you know, the trial already happened, right? They update the bottom of the article, Karen.
Oh, for real?
Yeah. You know, he pleaded not guilty. Alright. A woman applied for a job at jail, ended up in the slammer instead.
Oh!
Mm. Wow. That's like applying to go work at Target and then you end up shopping.
Right. That's defeat the purpose.
Right. A woman applying for a job at a New Hampshire County jail has been arrested because it turns out she was wanted on a charge in Maine.
Oh.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, that would make sense.
I'm like, well, why are you here?
You fit the description.
You do fit the description. Police say Christina Hoffs of Manchester applied to a job on Friday at the Hillsborough County Department of Corrections, but workers soon realized she was being sought on a theft-related charge offense in Maine. Haas was taken into custody, taken to police headquarters. She was scheduled for arraignment Monday. It's unknown if she has a lawyer. No phone number for her can be found. Guess the race.
I'm going to go white.
Cam's going white. Let's check the chat room and see what you coons believe. Black says Stephanie. White. Yeah, I can see why this would be difficult, because on the one hand, they did take it into custody. But on the other hand, who has the fucking balls to walk up in there and apply for a job while knowing they got a warrant?
Come on.
The audacity of whiteness. Oh, caucasity, you say. White. Arrested on a job interview, black, New Hampshire white, black, now white, white-ish. The correct answer is white. One person did miss it, though, I believe. Maybe a couple of y'all did.
Ooh, got a straight up 53% haircut.
Mm-hmm.
And the thing is, by that last name, it sounded black.
Hoffs, H-O-E-F-S.
Yeah, just Hoff. I'm like, well, that might be black. But when you said Maine, it's pretty white.
That's great. You're getting good at this. Look at you over there.
I know. I said Maine.
Mm-hmm. It wasn't like that Terrence Howard black mane. It was a different type of mane.
It's a handful. It's little pieces of pepper up there, but that's mostly salt.
Mm-hmm. Let's go to... You're so silly. Let's go to this bonus round. Double the points and the race. Double the points and the race. That's right, double the points, double the race, and the bonus round against the race. So far, Karen is 2-for-2.
I know, can y'all believe it? I can't.
I know. Let's see what she does in the bonus round. All right. Port Authority commissioner telling cops to shut the fuck up in video, which forced her resignation.
Oh, okay. Tell me how you really feel.
Mm-hmm. Police in New Jersey have released a video showing former Port Authority Commissioner Karen Turner allegedly flashing her badge and repeatedly berating two police officers who pulled over a vehicle which her daughter had been riding in. I guess she and her daughter had been there. Oh no, her daughter had been riding in. Okay, well that's weird. Turner was forced to resign on Monday, April 23rd, after authorities became aware of the footage in which she appears to attempt to influence the officers by boasting of her credentials and connections to the local police force and the mayor. During the clip, which lasts for several minutes, Turner also demands the officers refer to her as commissioner and belittles the officers as pathetic and unable to put a sentence together. I guess blue lives don't matter all the time. before telling one of the officers to shut the fuck up. I can't. This is white, guys. Come on. I can't do this one.
That was my guess. Was white.
Everyone gets
it. Okay, so we just got one free.
Everyone gets a free one tonight. That one, come on. Shut the fuck up to the police? Nigga, they didn't even pull you over. They pulled your daughter over. Man, god damn, that's the whitest thing I've ever seen in my life.
What, for minutes? And they didn't shoot your ass, right? Or tase your ass?
You cussed the cops out for several minutes. What? And boy, all right, I'll give y'all a different one. That's ridiculous. That's like the free space in Bingo. That was so
I take the free space.
That's so ridiculous. All right, let's see. How about this one? A Florida woman sets fire to her car she locked herself into to nap.
What?
The nap queen. Marion County, Florida, where they do naps a little different.
I bet. Apparently so. That was a hot ass nap.
A woman was arrested after she broke into a vehicle at a car dealership to sleep and then set the car on fire with a cigarette as she was locked inside. Dolores Graham, 62, being removed from the ring on Sunday. Okay, that's a picture. Deputies say they were called to the dealership on reports of a suspicious incident. I mean, what's suspicious about a 62-year-old woman taking a nap inside of a car on the dealership with the car on fire? I mean, are we really going to start calling it? Okay, fine. When they arrived, they found Graham inside one of the dealership's vehicles. The front windshield of the car was shattered. Graham told deputies she broke into one of the vehicles on the lot to sleep, and then she locked herself inside. She said she had tossed a cigarette under the front seat of the car, which caused it to start a fire. Now, why would you do all that? Said she couldn't get out the car, since she tried to smash the front windshield with her hands and feet, according to a Facebook post. Now, how do you get locked in the car? Was it child locks on or something?
I don't know. She got in, and then, you know, they probably don't keep the keys and nothing in them vehicles, odds are, so you just in the car.
Deputies showed her how to get out the vehicle, and then she was able to leave.
Oh, she is, out. And she is 62, so that, you know, true. She ain't used to those new fandango vehicles.
So you just push this button. Well, I'll be damned. You don't got to break the windows to get out these cars now.
She probably looking like, where's the thing where I rode, ma'am? It's electronic, ma'am. You just press that button to go up and down.
Ain't technology amazing? Well, I'll tell you.
Right? They'll be like, ma'am, you know you could have drove off if you just pushed the start button.
They used a fire extinguisher to put out the flames, according to a post. She was transported to Marion County Jail on charges of burglary and unoccupied structure. And felony criminal mischief. Guess the race.
This is a white woman.
Karen is going with white. Let's check the chat room. See what y'all believe. Do we know her name? Her name is Dolores Graham. All right.
Dolores.
All right. Do we know her name? Okay. Did something happen on 420? What kind of cigarette? All right. Sister's trying to enjoy her Newport after a long day working for the man black. Joe's dirt mama ain't shit whitey. Sigh, Aunt Bunny black. Sigh, she's white. White O Florida. Fried Becky white.
Oh, okay.
The correct answer is, and Karen, you got it, white. Some of y'all in the chat room missed it. And that's her picture.
Yeah, the first name got me too, but I was like, only a white woman could basically nap in the car and nobody immediately caught her.
What kind of Goldilocks shit was she trying to pull?
And she's standing long enough to set that bitch on fire.
That's what they do. Colonizers. They will fuck your shit up.
She colonized the hell of that car.
You know it was a foreign car. Let's go ahead and get to the sword ratchetness, guys. It's time to wrap it up. I really should move this thing to where I can find it every single time.
No,
I don't know why I keep doing this to y'all. This is my fault. A husband who fatally stabbed his wife 22 times with a Japanese samurai sword after she confessed to an affair is jailed.
Oh, yeah, you was kind of upset, huh?
A furious husband stabbed his wife to death with a Japanese samurai sword after drunkenly interrogating her into confessing to her secret affair with a work colleague. Darren Merriman, 40, was jailed for life today after he knifed his wife, Ellen Merriman, 39, at their home in Rochdale in an act of barbaric savagery. Just why couldn't you just get a divorce like normal people
and leave?
She admitted to the fling, and Merriman reacted by forcibly stabbing her 22 times with the sword. He had already suspected Liz, a care company deputy manageress, was seeing another man and had been repeatedly accessing her phone to get his name. So just leave then. When you gotta look in her phone, leave. All y'all, I need the password because I think you hiding some ass niggas. just leave. You don't trust them. How you gonna fix that? Best case scenario, you find out they not cheating, but you still thought they was and was suspicious enough to be looking through they shit all the time. Like, what weirdos, man. Father of three went on a 5-hour drinking binge at his local pub. And I know before you say, well, divorce is hard and it costs a lot of money. Is it harder than doing life? Don't kill nobody. Leave. After finding a picture of their lovers together, he got mad. On the evening of the killing last October, Merriman texted a friend saying, yeah, man, I'm ready for jail, pal. 16 years, 3 kids, ha ha. Going to do my best for now, play the game, but go mental if I need to.
Oh!
See, that's when you need a real friend to text your ass back, like, don't do that, man.
Yeah,
come over here, let's talk about it, bro.
Police, you go check on him, please. I'm coming with y'all. My friend ain't right.
But the marriage hit trouble last year when Mrs. Merriman, who worked with children with behavioral difficulties, became relied upon to be the main breadwinner at the home as her husband had no job. Prosecutor Louise Blackwell, QC, by late June, Elizabeth and someone she had worked with began a relationship, and by September it was obvious to her that the marriage had broken down. Text message shows the defendant had stayed away from her home, which wasn't uncommon. She had spent money from her bank account, which meant there was no money to pay the mortgage that month.
Oh!
He began thinking of getting a job, but became suspicious that his wife was seeing someone in order to consider that he accessed her mobile phone. He found a name, and he phoned that man to ask what's going on. The court heard how the man denied any relationship with Liz, but Merriman made physical threats to him. Ms. Blackwell continued, he was becoming emotional and was convinced she was having an affair, but she did not admit it either. She was concerned about admitting it in case he did something stupid. He continued to access her phone, her social media, and had seen a photo of his wife and the man together. By the beginning of October, he had packed his bags and went to stay with a friend, but later he returned. She tried to end the marriage, but he phoned the other man and made further threats and seemed to be using a friend to try and obtain more information. The defendant then received a message from someone on October 21st saying that he had seen Elizabeth at a hotel. Snitching. On the day of the murder on October, but then again, that person who knows if that person knew what story he was getting or she was getting.
Right.
On the Monday of the murder on October 22nd, Merriman went to a pub crawl, sent the incriminated text at 8 p.m. before returning home, where the ensuing row was overheard by a witness. Miss Blackwell added the defendant kept a katana sword in their bedroom, which was bought whilst the family were on holiday. Merriman was drunk, saying he believed his wife was having an affair. The conversation continued with Elizabeth, continued to deny it, but he would not let the matter go. She then said, right then, I have whatever I say, you don't believe me. The argument went for over half an hour, and Elizabeth was screaming out, crying, but by the end of the argument, before it all went silent, the defendant then left the house, taking the family car. Paramedics attended the scene. It was too late to save her. She had multiple injuries to her chest and abdomen. He was found at 3:45 a.m. the following morning inside the family car with several self-inflicted wounds. He later accepted the blame for his wife's death, claiming he recalled very little and must have completely lost my mind. I've never known grief at this level, said her mom. Lives so full of life, touched so many lives with her kindness at children's home, has since been named after her because of all the work she did with the children in the community. Merriman will serve a minimum of 18 years and 6 months before being considered for release. That is wild. I guess, but they said life at the beginning of the article. I guess that's when you can get paroled.
Right.
He offers his apologies to all those impacted. This is a marriage that was failing, perhaps because the burden was falling too heavily on the deceased to provide for the family. This defendant wanted to ensure the family unit remained together in the few weeks before he had secured employment in an attempt to address one of the issues of tension. But he began to hear rumors, and what took place in the preceding minutes before the death of his wife was that of accepting an affair was taking place. The actions thereafter, the defendant does not recall. He acted out of total lack of self-control, but there was no premeditation. He texted a motherfucker. He might have to go mental. What is the other? How can it not be? He bought a sword when it was on holiday and put it in his bedroom. Oh, snapped ass nigga.
That's gonna be on snap.
Even that night, all he wanted to do was keep the family unit together. Ugh. This must be his defense lawyer. Am I reading what his defense lawyer said? I guarantee I'm reading what his defense lawyer said. No other person would view this way. His lawyer, yeah, it's his lawyer. Of course, he's spending it to be like, look, he was just trying. He loved his family so much he had to kill his wife, guys. You know how it be. With a sword. Torturing her for 22 times and then trying to escape into the night. Anyway, gotta keep these swords away from people.
Please do.
These motherfuckers can't help themselves, okay? swords. And if you're gonna die, it's worse than a gun. Some of y'all got swords in your house right now, thinking it's cool, thinking it's fun, thinking it's funny. But you also live with crazy motherfuckers. Don't do it. Get the swords out of there. They won't even notice. Just get them gone. They go, what happened to my sword? I don't know, man. Somebody must have got it or something. Oh, that thing, I think I might have thrown it out. You hide that shit, okay? These motherfuckers are crazy. All right, man, we'll be back Saturday for feedback. Looking like Friday's probably gonna be a doubleheader of Ball Z Sports and the Nerd Off. I haven't talked to Chris and Aaron yet, but Friday afternoon every other week is when we typically do it, so should be me, Karen, Aaron, and Chris. Hopefully we will have all seen Infinity War by then, I hope.
Yeah, some of us have. I'm jealous.
So we'll be not spoiling it on that. We don't spoil it there, but we'll probably do a spoil review tomorrow night, maybe. Mm-hmm. And yeah, we'll talk to you guys soon. So until then, don't forget TeePublic, man. We have a shirt. Thanos was right.
Yes.
Cop that joint, man. I know I'm gonna be wearing mine tomorrow. I can't wait. So yeah, until then, I love you.
I love you too. Mwah. Mwah.